This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexual on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and pay our respects to elders past, present, future and emerging. We also pay a special respect to the elders of the LGBTI community and the brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI First Australians community.
Everybody loves you when you're by. The tension and the passion's double amplified. Everybody.
Everyone's messed up with their sexuality. That is one way to put it. That was Living Colour with the classic Bi. Unless you could not tell, you've just tuned in to Triple Bypass, the show for the bis, the pans, the polys and the queers here on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby and I'm very pleased to be with you tonight. A huge thanks to Grace from Urban Dreaming, another solo gal show. So you've got some pretty great femme representation coming at you right now, dear listener. Hope you're enjoying it. I know I did. Now, we are going to be joined by a very special guest. I say we, I'm just so used to it. I will be joined by a very special guest coming up soon. I have them all to myself. Greedy bisexual. Anyway, we've got the Victorian Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, the one, the only, the darling of the queers. It's Ro Allen. But first, a little bit of a rundown on what's been happening in the news for us multigender attracted folk. We have had Solo, a Star Wars story, burst into action with Lando Calrissian being called pansexual by both the writer and actor Donald Glover. Now, of course, this gets us to the whole debate on does it count if the character doesn't actually do anything in the text? It's Dumbledore in 2018. Though, of course, Glover, his exact wording was like, how could you not be pansexual in space? There's just so many things to have sex with. I mean, I do remember having, like, there were those girls with the big tail things coming out of their heads, but the idea is that, from what I hear, he does flirt pretty hard with more than one gender, which we know sometimes you just take what you can get, hey, especially when it's Disney. Speaking of Disney, I had a bit of a rant on Facebook. I'll repeat it again for you just in case you missed it. And if you haven't got us on Facebook, it's Triple Bypass on Joy. That's with the I, not the Y, the non-medical term. We're also on Instagram, which I'm not very good at, but I'm learning. And also on Twitter, which I am manning at the moment. Now, what's happened with this is Disney is producing a live-action version of Mulan with no songs, because apparently Disney doesn't know what people like Mulan. But they've decided to axe Shang, the bisexual general, who was really only adopted into the bi fold because people kind of pointed out that he made the same kind of dreamy eyes at Mulan when he thought Mulan was Ping as when he thought Mulan was Mulan. And apparently this is one shade too queer for Disney, so they're axing him for another character who will explicitly only be attracted to Mulan when he is positive that she is a she. And so, as someone who had not really thought of Shang as bi, I'll say this. He is a bisexual, beautiful bastard. He's one of us. And you have killed him for nothing, Disney. I, for one, am a little tired of this idea that queer attraction isn't somehow not appropriate for children, given that attraction and crushes start happening pretty young, and they are not inherently sexual or deviant. Hopefully, Disney, given it is a pretty massive conglomerate when it comes to children's entertainment, if I have to hear that song from Frozen one more time, I'll lose my mind. But given all that, you would think that they might get with the times and understand that there are kids who have crushes and are queer, and that by insisting that any kind of queerness in their children's entertainment is somehow too mature, then they're sending a pretty worrying sentiment that we would very much like to leave behind in the coming years. Rant over. The rest is good. On the 25th this month, we celebrated Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day. So celebrate for all you wonderful pans. Now, in case anyone's listening and is wondering if there is any beef with the bis and the pans, as far as I'm concerned, we together form the mighty bipan, which is the second deadliest snake in Australia. According to me, I just made that up right then. But I think very much that we both have very cute flags and we can learn a lot from each other and generally hang out pretty well. I don't think there should be any issues there, so I think it's all in our benefit to celebrate Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day on the 25th. If you missed it this year, loop around, wait for the next one. And I suppose on that note, this idea of if a character is shown as having attracted to more than one gender, they're bi until proven otherwise or pan until proven otherwise, I think one of the best ways going forward is just to let people kind of decide what labels are best and don't assume until they tell you. But also, maybe you don't need to know because maybe it's not relevant to the situation. Kind of like Dumbledore and Harry Potter, because as far as I could see, none of the teachers were getting it on with anybody that we could see except for Snape and his massive thirst for a dead woman, because that's a normal and non-creepy heterosexual thing to do. Anyway, I'm not going to bring on Ro, who is looking a little uncomfortable, which is probably entirely my fault. Anyway, I'm very excited to be here with Ro Allen, the very first Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality in the country, who we happen to have and be very lucky to have right here in Victoria. Thanks for joining me, Ro.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ruby.
I hope that wasn't a bit too risque, maybe a little bit too much Disney references probably. Given you've got a 10-year-old, you'll probably deal with it a lot more than I do.
I'm even going to Disneyland this year, so.
There you go. Is that the one in California or Florida?
California, yeah.
Ah.
We have to go to a wedding in America, so we have to do the stopover at Harry Potter World.
I went there 2 years ago.
Is it good?
I cried. It was very good. it was very, very, very good. Don't try the butterbeer. It is liquid butterscotches. It's very, very sweet. And I was hoping for something a little stronger, which wasn't quite was on the cards. Now, can I ask, did you read the Harry Potter books?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What house?
Well, actually, I'm probably, Hufflepuff. My
yes.
daughter told me I was Hufflepuff.
Yeah, did you?
I got told. I got sorted by the sorting hat, my daughter.
Well, you can't argue with a 10-year-old girl.
What house are you?
Ravenclaw.
Oh, okay.
I've been told that mostly because I actually enjoy the idea of having to answer riddles before I go to bed.
What a nightmare.
See, that's the thing. So that's why I was told, that was literally my friend sorting. She's like, how do you feel about having to answer riddles? I'm like, I think it'd be kind of fun, you know, a good mental exercise. She's like, yeah. You're a Ravenclaw. And that exact tone, just like the, oh, yeah, you're one of them. Personally, I look good in blues. I was happy with it. You know, Hufflepuff is J.K. Rowling's favourite house.
Ah.
Because when you look at it, Hufflepuff was the one founder that was basically like, I don't think we should be dividing students up. I think we should just be taking everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really nice sentiment, really. Because it was like, well, I want the brave ones. Like, well, I want the smart ones. And, like, I want the cunning, pure blood ones. And they're like, I just think we should take in students who want to learn magic.
Fantastic.
Which I was going to say, does that sound...
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Well, you've actually... I do like getting started on Harry Potter because there is a lot of... So what are your thoughts on this idea of Dumbledore being a gay character? Do you think that it was a bit of a cop-out that, you know, J.K. Rowling didn't mention it until later, or do you think it was not really relevant for the book, or is it nice to kind of look back on it and be like, yeah, now that's how I see him when I read it?
Well, I didn't know he was gay. It never really crossed my mind. And so you're giving me new information about Harry Potter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't they change the Dumbledore character in the movies halfway as well because he died or something?
He did. Yeah, I think after the second one because he was old. Old. He was in his 90s.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And then they brought another actor in. But, yeah, so J.K. Rowling actually announced it in a press conference and basically people were asking, like, oh, did Dumbledore have, like, a girlfriend or a wife? And she's like... I always kind of thought of him as gay.
Fantastic.
And that his relationship with Grindelwald was a romantic relationship.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and then everyone was like, but you didn't put it in the books. It's like, yeah, but McGonagall wasn't making out with anyone either. They were busy. They had more important things
right.
to deal with.
Wasn't the focus.
Exactly. And so I think that was kind of the point that I felt that I was like, it wasn't really a part of the story.
Mm.
Look, we're going to be jumping out to one of the songs that you've picked and we'll be right back after that, listeners. Now, this was In or Out by Annie DeFranco, which we've played on the show before. Can I ask, so why this song did you...
Well, it's just I found Annie DeFranco, you know, in my coming out year and I just rocked this on high volume and just loved it. I've never seen Annie live. If she ever tours, I need to find someone to go with because Kay would rather stick needles in her eyes.
Oh, no.
I know, but, you know, I'm just a big Annie fan and this is obviously because of my age, this is very early in her work, but I just loved it.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, we've been playing this song a lot.
Have
because
you? Fantastic.
As far as we're concerned, the whole in or out thing is pretty bi.
Yeah, that's it.
We'll be right back on Triple Bypass. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
With me. Yes, I don't fit in. No one wants to touch it. No one knows where to begin. I've got more than one membership, more than one club, and I owe my life to the people that I love. He looks me up and down like he knows what time it is, like he's got my number, like he thinks it's his. He says, call me Mr. Franco if there's anything I can do. I say, it's Mr. DeFranco to you. The line I walk turns out to be be straight. Other days the line tends to deviate. I've got no criteria for sex or race. I just wanna hear your voice. I just wanna see your face. She looks me up and down like she thinks that I'm mature. Like she's got my number, like it belongs to her. She says, call me Ms. DeFranco if there's anything I can do. I say, I've got spots, I've got stripes, toes. They're all asking, are you in or are you out? And I think, oh man, what is this about? I mean, tonight you can't put me up on any shelf, cause I came here alone and I'm gonna leave by myself. I just wanna show you the way that I feel, and when I get tired you can take the wheel. To me what's more important is the person that I bring, not just getting to the same restaurant and eating the same thing. Wrong with me, guess I don't fit in. No one wants to touch it, no one knows where to begin. I've got more than one membership, more than one club, and I owe my life to people that I love.
This is Joy 94.9, and that was the incomparable Annie DeFranco with In or Out. And that was a song chosen by Victoria's first Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, the one and only Ro Allen, who is with me in the studio. This is Triple Bypass. I'm Ruby, and hi, Ro.
Hi.
Now, we were both having a bit of a jam out to that song because we have played it on the show a few times because we kind of saw it as a bit of a bi anthem, the whole in or out membership to more than one club thing. We were both having a pretty good jam out. That was great.
Yeah. When you put the invitation out and, you know, could the commissioner bring some music, that was the very first song I thought of. Because, you know, absolutely, it's about bisexuality and not being able to be pegged in a box and, you know, it's fantastic. Love it.
Oh, I know. And I'm excited to play the next one you picked, which I'm not going to give away just yet. But it's interesting because one of the things that we're excited to have you on the show for is because Anthony, James and myself all are also people who operate in some of the communities that work around Victoria. So we have had worked with you a bit, and it has been very nice to have someone in the government who doesn't identify as bisexual, but firstly, but also does want that community to be seen. Also, who has a pretty rockin' bi flag colour paisley shirt.
Yeah, which I do love my bi coloured paisley shirt. Yeah, I'm very boring and monosexual, but
but you know the word, Ro. You know the word. That means. And I'm going to stop you there because boring. Because we were talking outside about, you know, how labels aren't necessarily important, because a lot of the time the labels that we all kind of learn as we kind of dive deeper into ourselves are not really understandable or really accessible for a lot of people who don't spend a lot of time in queer spaces dealing with queer communities. We just got a message in. Commissioner, so great to hear you on a bisexual show, and thank you for all your work in the Rainbow World, from Richard in Mill Park.
Beautiful. Hi,
thanks,
Richard.
Champion. It is nice to have you on a bi show, even though you are a monosexual in your own terms. They said it, not me. I've been in trouble for saying that word before.
Well, language is so powerful, Ruby. And, you know, I don't put monosexual on my business card. But for the bisexual community, it's a really powerful word, you know. And that's what's really important, to make myself accessible and make, you know, LGBTI issues really front and centre, and make sure that all people within that alphabet, you know, get a fair hearing.
Yeah, and it's funny because at the first segment of the show, in case you missed, we were discussing Harry Potter, and Ro is a Hufflepuff. And Helga Hufflepuff's theory on bringing students into the school was that she didn't believe in trying to find who was best at a particular thing. She just felt it was her responsibility to teach everybody.
That's it.
And I think that's kind of what you've shown with the community, in that it is your responsibility, though, to make sure that everyone is being taught. Because, as we all know, there are, of course, as we've ranted about on the show before, not everybody always gets a fair hearing. And, in fact, you were away quite recently on a retreat for another area of the community that doesn't always get a big voice in, though we get to listen to them a lot because the Indigenous program is just before us. But you were on an Indigenous retreat for an LGBTI people, is that right?
It's fantastic. You know, I'm so proud to be part of a government that's working on treaty with Aboriginal people and a government that funds LGBTI Aboriginal people to come together for a retreat, not around HIV or sexual health or anything else, just to come together because they understand how important it is for communities within communities to get together. And it was magic. I mean, I turned up in Shepparton on Yorta Yorta country and I walked in and there are 60 to 70, you know, people in that room that are all buzzing and yeah. So many young people. And when I got up to the, you know, I had like a written speech and everything. I very rarely read anything if people have seen me do stuff. And I just said, where have you all been? Like, where have you all been? These are people, maybe I knew 10. Yeah. Maybe I'd seen 10 around sort of community things. But there are all these people that weren't connected to community, you know, and just wanted to be with their mob.
Yeah.
And it's been great. And I know out of that came applications to the LGBTI Leadership Program, which is just magic. And they've kind of agreed to stay connected with each other and form a network. And, you know, that's absolutely fantastic. And they came from all over Victoria. So it was really beautiful.
I think with when you mention like where have they been, one of the things that I've noticed that's been happening a bit in the bi pan space is that it's hard to move into a place where you don't really see anyone like you there. So, you know, you don't really see room for yourself. So while you don't think it's for you anyway. So I imagine that, you know, only based on my own experiences, that actually realizing there's a place that people like you are going to, it might have been the first time any of them realized there was more than one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard that, you know, on the Friday night dinner, that they didn't even know that there were other queer Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you know, that live the next town or next village. And, you know, for Shepparton to host and, you know, Yorta Yorta elders came, you know, and that was so powerful to have a welcome to country on country, you know. And they stayed all night and, you know, the heterosexual Aboriginal community did the catering and, you know, so really, really important connection.
Yeah.
And they did cultural stuff as well as, you know, massages and all the, you know, and karaoke and things they...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the drag and the karaoke.
That's
it's very
it.
Important. They're our welcome.
It's pretty bad drag.
I think the best drag is bad drag myself. but I think it's interesting because... once people actually kind of, a lot of energy does gather in those spaces where people kind of realize that. I feel a lot of the time people are motivated not too much through wanting things for themselves, but by wanting to protect each other.
Mm.
So I think when people realize that there is a mob, suddenly you're not fighting for yourself, you're fighting. It's actually a lot easier to fight for your friends and to stand up for your friends and stand up for your community than it can be to stand up for yourself, particularly when you're a queer person or a person of color who's internalized a lot of stuff saying not to. So it is fantastic the government helped that. And I suppose it's also fantastic the government has decided to have a commissioner for gender and sexuality because that is a first.
It is a first, yeah. And other states are looking at it and kicking tires.
Yeah?
But yeah, Victoria's still the equality
Hard
state.
Hard act to follow, right? But so is it... So when you started the job, is it what you expected and are the issues that you thought you'd be addressing going in what you ended up looking at?
Well, that's a good question. There are so many more issues than I even thought of when I went in. You know, I had some things that I wanted to achieve and I think, you know, I've pulled some of those out. I also think it's the role of government or the role of the equality unit to sort of incubate ideas. If we go back to the Aboriginal retreat, the first time we did a national retreat, the equality unit did it. So that's the LGBTI unit. This year just gone, we pushed that over to the Department of Human Services into Aboriginal Affairs. And then next year they'll push it out into and you know, fund an Aboriginal controlled org to do it. And so that's really my strategy is to sort of incubate things and push
build
it out.
Build the capacity
and push it out. So I think, you know, we've done some good stuff in the Aboriginal space. We've really started to do some things in the multi-faith, multicultural space, but there's just a lot more to do there.
Yeah.
We've only just touch the disability space and we need to do more in there. So all the intersections and, you know, you and I and others are working on a project in the bisexual space and pan space. So, you know, I would have loved to do that in the first year, but it is a bit of a rolling thing. And
I suppose you were defining what the role was in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Given that you were, so what, like when you went in there, did you have like a job brief? Like, here's your responsibilities. It was more just like, good luck to you.
Well, you know, it's an exciting thing being the first of anything.
Yeah.
So there's nobody's shoes you have to fill.
Yeah.
No one has expectations. I mean, I'm sure people had expectations.
Yeah,
but
people always have expectations.
I work for an amazing minister, Martin Foley, who said, you know what the issues are, off you go, you know.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely brilliant, and he's been incredibly supportive about everything that I brought to him along the way. And, you know, I can remember saying to him, you know, Minister, you know, if I'm the Victorian Commissioner, I need to be all across Victoria and do rural and regional. And he said, well, you know, bring a proposal to me. And that's how the roadshow happened. And, you know, everything I brought to him so far, he's been very supportive of.
Well, you've been doing a lot of work with kind of championing rural LGBTI access, because that has been an area that often, just because, does get left behind. We know we focus a lot on urban queer spaces because that's where we're most visible. It really is. And so, you know, Bendigo now is a pride centre, and of course not everything is running perfectly there, but they never do with any pride centres anywhere, because we're a bit of a messy group. you know, all those colours in the rainbow, they clash sometimes. but, you know, it has been, do you think, what's... I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to put a pin in it. But while we go to the next song, which you chose, which is Bilingual, that's the song, which is just so good.
And it's the Pet Shop Boys.
And it's such a good video clip. I recommend everyone go check it out, because it made me think, is this what it's like to go work at government? All these people in identical suits. Oh, my gosh. But I've got friends who work in government who would not like me to say that. So I'm just saying that a thought occurred and then I pushed it aside. Anyway, you're listening to Triple Bypass. If you've got anything you want to ask the Commissioner, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Triple Bypass, here to put the B in LGBTI and also the P in the Q because we like all of it. That was Bilingual by the Pet Shop Boys, and that was a song picked by our very own Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality, who's with me in the studio tonight. That is right. I'm here with Ro Allen. This is Ruby with Ro.
Yay.
That could be a show. We could do an entire show. Let's do Drive. How do you feel about 6 a.m. mornings? I mean, you probably do that anyway.
At 6, yeah.
I was going to say, how do you feel about talking at 6? Because I get up at 6. I just don't communicate until 9. So you picked that song as well, Bilingual. Love the little shout out, by the way. Definitely appreciated that. But before we get into why you picked that particular song, we did get some messages. We had one from Andrew, which was asking, just, you know, hey, Ro, do you feel pressure in your role to make sure the LGBTI community is given a voice when the needs and priorities are so diverse and complex? And given that you were just talking before about both working in rural spaces and also working on an LGBTI Indigenous retreat, that's already two examples of very diverse and complex priorities that are in the queer community right now. And also you're mentioning that there is some work happening in bi spaces too, which is, you know, as we've talked about on the show, it's governments generally will never put money into bi spaces. So that kind of movement is really revolutionary in a lot of ways. But I suppose, how do you see that insofar as trying to address so many different people who are all kind of lumped into this one space and given this one big encompassing, you know, alphabet soup of a label? How's that going?
Well, look, it is tricky, particularly when invitations come in for the same time, same event. You know, one event will be, you know, a sort of person of people of faith, you know, Melbourne Queer Church event, and, you know, the Argonauts, you know, or something like that, or, you know, something that's G and something that's T, and they're on the same time and in completely different sides of the city. And, you know, I unashamedly focus on the B, the T and the I more, and the intersections more than the G and the L. I certainly did in the first 2 years. The G and the L, you know, can arc up about that sometimes, so I make sure I go to a lot of G things as well. And, you know, I've got to remember that there's a whole lot of disadvantage in, you know, the lesbian community, particularly older lesbians, and housing issues around that, and discrimination is still experienced there. And, you know, it's really important. So it is very, very difficult because I honestly don't feel like I want to spend it all in our community. That's the other thing. I really try to... my role, I believe, is about educating the masses.
Yeah.
So I went in thinking, okay, I'll do 20% of community and 80%.
We wouldn't let go of you that
quickly. No. So honestly, it's probably 50-50.
Yeah.
I'd like to get it to 60-40, but it's probably 50-50. So when, you know, a corporate asks me to do an Ida Hobbit event, you know, it's important to do that, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, you're also talking to LGBTI people when you go and do a corporate event, you know.
Yep.
And they're the ones that run up to you at coffee break and say, oh, my God, that's so lovely that you came. So, you know, you're talking to community everywhere you go. And, you know, I have great opportunities. Having the word commissioner in my title takes me, it's such a privilege. And I get to go into fantastic spaces. I get to go in boardrooms. I get to go, you know, everywhere.
On road shows.
I got road shows, you know, I meet with mayors and local government and corporate and sports, you know, people, and I'm not very sporty, so that's a whole learning curve for me, the sports space. You know, I don't know any of the players. It's quite funny.
Oh, gosh, yeah, no, neither.
I don't know any of them. And as you know, my references to, you know, modern culture.
I've already agreed not to mention pop culture, but as I said, I'm quite used to it because James and Anthony weren't great on it either.
But, you know, I also get into the court system, you know, and I did a presentation to 26 judges and magistrates, you know, and was able to give them LGBTI 101. So then when our community goes through the court system, we're talking about how do we gender people that are non-binary and how do they control a courtroom and, you know, when they use, you know, they say Mr. and Mrs., you know, how do you, you know, and just not having the answers for them, but, you know.
Just reminding them to think about it.
Reminding them to think about it and challenging them, and even being able to get into that space, you know, is such a privilege. So how do I juggle it all? I have an amazing assistant, Louise, who really is amazing. If you want to get me to something, you just need to make friends with Louise.
That was how I did it. I just snuck in there. And while you were off making coffee, I was like, oh, apparently the person to talk to. Hey, love that dress. Can I have Ro, please?
But sometimes, and I think I even did it with you, Ruby, sometimes I have to push. You know, people, particularly in the minorities, within the minority, don't assume they can get my time or attention. Yeah. So I said to you, invite me.
You know, you came up to me, I think that was during the Better Together leadership thing.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, I'd had 3 glasses of free champagne.
Oh, okay.
And so I was, but you're right, because I was really, intimidated. It was that sense of like, you want to come on my show? Are you, yeah, of course, please.
Yeah.
Because it was that, yeah, it was very much that sense of and it wasn't suspicious, it was more the sense of like, I didn't expect this and I'm not sure what conversations to have, because I feel in a lot of these spaces we're still trying to talk to each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so the idea of having someone who is seen as holding one of the bigger biggest megaphone in Victoria when it comes to our issues, for that person to come and say, hello. But, you know, that being said, by that point, I got to meet you a few more other times at meetings and got to eat some free sandwiches, which was really good. And talked to people who'd worked for you who mentioned that, turns out Rose is just a person.
There you go.
Their preferred pronouns are commissioner, which I enjoyed a lot.
Why that last?
Well, look, it's on a T-shirt. See, I have a T-shirt that says by the by and by, and you've got a T-shirt that says commish, and I just think it's like, here's my most important label.
That's it.
And, So as far as jumping, did you find there that, you know, you did have to actually go and seek out those smaller voices or the less visible?
Or if they're not there, I've helped create them. So now in Victoria we have the first intersex working party. You know, we've never had that before. And, you know, there's a platform for people with an intersex variation to be part of a structure. So, you know, we're working slowly at creating spaces for people to have voices and do that capacity building. You know, we've had the capacity building grants, the leadership program, and we've got, I can say there'll be some fantastic bi and pan people in that. It'll be great. And that excites me. So, yeah, it's difficult to pick. I do my very best. I don't make everybody happy all the time. I know that, but I do my best.
Look, even making a few people happy in this community can be hard. We've got another question from Kiki. Evening team, just wondering, apart from Bi Visibility Day in September, what other events or activities are coming up for the bisexual community this year? Cheers. Well, there's Wear It Purple Day, which isn't particularly bi-specific, but that's our colour in a lot of ways. At least that's how we feel about it.
Well, that's interesting. I've just become a patron for Wear It Purple.
Yes, I saw that on Facebook.
So I might need to do a post with you about that or something.
Oh, well, it would be an honour and a privilege. Again, I think it's before we just go jump into the next song, which is one I picked from this incredible bisexual singer in Sweden who's been speaking out very openly about mental health and bisexuality, which just is a big big thing for me. I think it's really interesting because we had Bi Health Month earlier this year, but Bi Visibility Day is actually a month. So it's you've got a whole month to do some wonderful things, and you haven't got to pick. That's the best part. But as you said before, one of the things that I've really noticed about you as I've had the privilege of getting to be elevated enough to speak with you in that sense of, you know, having a voice in a government area, because a lot of us don't, is that realisation that, you know the word monosexual, for example, which is a word that is often only really used in circles of people who are multigender attracted, much like it took a while for cis to become a word that kind of spread outside of the gender diverse, non-binary and trans community. Now, you had a few other labels. Now, I'd love if you could go through them, and we'll go back. We'll get you to explain them after the song, because that's a nice little hook so they can listen in and see what's going on there.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So if you're going to list them quickly, what are your labels? And then we'll hold on the explanations until after the next break.
Not that it's on my business card, but at a push, I'd say I'm gender fluid, non-binary, monosexual, and butch transmax.
Yes. You're listening to Triple Bypass. We'll be right back. This is I Run by Angie after these short messages. Stay tuned. You're on Joy.
Loving is the hardest thing I've ever done. Yeah, sure, it's a lot of fun, but we always tend to run when we start to see the sun. When we start to see the sun, Loving you's the hardest thing I've ever done. Yeah, sure, it's a lot of fun, but we always tend to run when we start to see the sun. When we start to see the sun. We run, we run, we run, we run. We run, we run when we start to see the sun. Nighttime romance won't give the sun a chance. We just wanna dance, stuck in hypnotic trance. So I say sorry in advance, boy, for not giving us a chance, boy. Nighttime romance won't give the sun a chance. We just wanna dance, stuck in hypnotic trance. So I say sorry in advance, boy, for not giving us a chance, boy. We run, we run, we run, we run. We run, we run when we start to see the.
This is Rob Mills, and you're listening to Australia's Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Triple Bypass, the bisexuality program here on Joy. Of course, not just for the bis, also for the pans, the polysexuals, the omnisexuals, the heteroflexibles, and everyone else who wants to join in. That was We Run by Angie. Angie is a singer from Sweden and who did an interview, which is how I found this song, where they were asked, oh, so you're very open about your homosexuality. She's like, yes, I'm open about being bisexual. Like, so homosexual, yes, my bisexuality is very interesting, which I loved her straight away. She also talks about mental health. Her songs, she has a really good cover of Velvet Underground, Shiny Boots of Leather, which I was quite a fan of, so check out her stuff. That was the first song of tonight that was not picked by the first Victorian Gender and Sexuality Commissioner, Ro Allen, who we left just before that break discussing labels and listed rows. Now, we had non-binary, genderqueer, monosexual, trans mask, butch.
Got it.
Yes. And we were talking before about how, you know, they're not on your business card.
No.
Firstly, it might be a bit difficult to fit them all in. You know, people always have those little letters after their name to show that they've got a million doctorates. So just be like, need shorthand for all of those. But so I thought it was really interesting to kind of talk, to hear you say all that, because I think a lot of people listening will now know, yeah, you can be all of those things and work in the state government.
Absolutely. And I'm a parent and I'm a partner and, you know, I'm a sibling and all those other identities that we have as well. So
yeah, you're respected, you're listened to, and you're loved.
Thanks, Ruby. I'll come back.
Flattery gets me everywhere. But so I think one of the things that you've been working on a lot is throughout your time as commissioner, and before that, you know, you'd established a lot before you came in there, before you came into this role, and you were the first person to really step into here, and you've shaped what we now expect from it, which is a lot for the next person to come through, hopefully in a long time, because you're not going anywhere yet. But what has been the biggest surprise in the challenges you found? Because you mentioned that you weren't even, a little while ago, by the way, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, you can check out the podcast on joy.org.au/triplebypass or on iTunes. But you'd mentioned that when you'd first started, you hadn't even been aware of how many challenges there actually were.
Hmm.
Out of all of those many, many, many challenges, including the invisible communities that you've now really chosen to champion, rural people, Indigenous people, the bis, the trans and the intersex communities. What has been the big surprise in what the setbacks that you're seeing for us?
Look, there are so many. I think one of the things that still astounds me is, you know, our community doesn't really own the fact that we have family violence in our community, and that it's a real and present thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can blame, you know, discrimination and, you know, internalized homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, etc. But we need to take some responsibility for that. And I think that's still astounding me, that, you know, how much there is in our community and how much we are putting it under the table.
Yeah.
So that would be one big one. Conversion therapy, you know, it's still alive and well, and that astounds me that it's still alive and well and happening in Victoria, and of course much broader than that. So doing the work in that area and strengthening the powers of the Health Services Commissioner and so on. So, you know, those things still kind of get me, you know, in the throat, and I just go, wow, we've got so much more work to do. And I give you a shopping list, Ruby, but, you know, by visibility, you know. We still got, you know, we still got lots of people really kind of do understand the L and the G, and they absolutely don't get the B, T in the I, you know. And then as for Q and A, well, it's just, you know.
Yeah, a bit of
a real learning curve. And so we've got so much work to do, and I think I can look at that sometimes and be overwhelmed, or then I have to look at the, you know, the things that we have done, the gains that we have made. Hopefully now, you know, the bisexual, pansexual community has a better run marching than you have had in previous years in the Pride March. And I know that, you know, Midsummer has done a lot of work in that space.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of allies, and I mean, you know, gay and lesbian people now who are being allies for bisexual people. And I, you know, I'm seeing that more and more. And, you know, there's still discrimination.
What do you think caused that change? So why do you think we're seeing more gay and lesbian people being allies now? Was it because just an ignorance as to the severity of the problem? Was it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would hope some of the Victorian government work in this space, your work, you know, this radio show, you know, like the visibility, everybody that's working on the visibility, and people go, oh, wow, I really...
A visible radio show.
That's really important, you know. And you were saying before, your podcasts are doing well, and people are getting educated. And when, you know, that's how you change hearts and minds. You know, you need to do that education before somebody realises it is an issue.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting with the family violence issue, because this is, I think studies in Australia have shown that cis bisexual women are some of the highest at risk.
Absolutely. And trans women.
And trans women, absolutely.
But, you know, and that's...
So some of the... But I suppose, do you think it's because we often feel that our relationships and our, you know, how we live our lives is so harshly criticised? There is that sense of trying to hide our trash, really, of trying to, like, put the shutters up of the glass house, because we are worried that it will be used against us?
Absolutely. There's all of that. And particularly through the marriage equality campaign, we're trying to say our relationships are fabulous and no one wanted to...
Yeah, everything's perfect. Yeah, nothing to see here.
And also, you know, what we think we deserve. You know, we'll put up with a lot in relationships because we think we deserve this. I should say, while I'm talking about this, if you are in...
If you're experiencing...
Yes, absolutely.
So, there are definitely people you can call. So, first, if you're in an immediate emergency, please do call 000. We had Ray Alfonso on last week to talk about how Queer Space at Drummond Street is working on some spaces within that. So I'm going to grab the number for them now. Also, of course, you can always call Switchboard. They're open until midnight every day of the week. Let me just pull up the number for that now. And again, also, if you feel that your behaviour is a problem and you want to get help, VAC is doing rehabilitation programs with perpetrators as well as victims. So you are also able to take some steps and to speak to people about finding out and really sorting yourself out so you don't have people that you care about. Now, the number you can call for Switchboard is 1-800-184-527.
Ruby, you're all over it. I didn't even tell you I was going to talk about family violence. You got my back.
Always, Ro. We always have each other's backs. That's the best part. And also, if you want to call Drummond Street, business hours, 0396636733. It has been very heartening for myself having really only found a community in the last 2 years through this show a lot of the time, and having found through the statistics around domestic violence and family violence and intimate partner violence and homelessness for people who are multigender attracted, however they choose to identify, to hear just in the recent times that queer space and Drummond Street are working on something, that government's working on something, people have stopped. We're not suffering in the dark anymore. And I think that hopefully now that we have marriage equality, which they can't take away without a real big fight.
That's right.
We can actually start to open up and really acknowledge that when people have had, you know, that there are problems within our spaces too, that, and we don't need to worry about what we'll lose for owning up to those problems.
That's right.
But, you know, it does, all those things take time and we're just moving there. I always feel very hopeful when I see the next generations come through. So I'm not sure, we'll ask you this in a second, but I wanted to share with you. So when I was walking to get the tram up to the State Library to hear the results of the postal survey, I was walking up and there were a bunch of kids walking to me to go off to middle school and they're all wearing rainbow suspenders and big, big yes badges. And I was like, those guys are all under 10 and they know what's right. So if that's where things are headed, we're going to be okay. And I really held on to that, and I still do. But I suppose, like, you know, hearing someone we had on a few weeks ago, an 11-year-old who knows she was bi and came out to her mum because she found out her mum was bi too. And hearing about you and your daughter who is sorting you into Hufflepuff and has a T-shirt that says Commish Junior and who accepts the fact that, you know, she's got two parents, one of whom is a non-binary genderqueer person. I think the other one is a cis woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that this kind of idea of new normalizing means that it's actually a lot easier because normal people are allowed to go through shit and own up to that shit. And I think when you're kind of the undercast, it can be a lot harder to really acknowledge that you are allowed to not be perfect all the time, and because we're held up to higher standards and we're allowed to actually let those things drop sometimes and say, nothing's aren't going well. And I, you know, we got the yes vote and we all grinned and we didn't yell at anybody. And the one person who headbutted a politician wasn't even queer.
I'm a very proud parent, but I'll just tell you one quick story about my daughter. She was writing a play and there were four characters and one of them was bisexual and one of them had an intersex variation. So there you go. So I think you're right. The world is going to be different, but we can't be complacent about that.
Oh, the world will be different if we make it different.
That's right. And there are still a whole lot of young people that are very biphobic.
Yes, there are. Stop that, children. That's just not on. No, I think you're right. And I think that, as you say, one of the issues that comes from not being able to connect a community to people is what you get with invisibility. And I think we're seeing bisexuality become and pansexuality become a lot more of a mainstream topic of discussion, the way that gay and lesbian started to really in the 80s and 90s, in that we're seeing characters on television use the word as opposed to like, I don't like labels, also I'm a huge manipulator, also I'm Frank Underwood. You know, our representations of bisexuality wasn't great. Now we've got Rosa Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I know you don't know that show because I mentioned it before and your face went totally blank. And that's okay. I can forgive you for that, Ro, because and I can't think of many people for not knowing St. Rosa Diaz, the first woman I ever saw to come out and say she was bi on television. Wow. Because, yeah, and it's 2018. But, you know, we're getting there. Stops and starts. Also, you guys have got four bisexual podcasts in the English language. You can check out the Bicast, broadcast from the United States by Lynette, who came out at 55 after finding out that bisexuality was okay because she found some women on a Buffy forum online. And then you've got two women up
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Fantastic.
And then you've also got two incredible women up in Europe who do bi positive, who are both training to be psychologists and are looking to bisexuality in that space. You also have, right here in Australia, you've got Out of the Pan on 3AW. We're not 3AW. The Community Station with Sally Goldner.
Triple R.
3D. If you look up
3CR. We're going to get it, weren't we?
We were, and that's a very good podcast as
Sally's
well.
That, program, yeah.
That's with Sally. And then, of course, you have us. And we're celebrating our 2-year anniversary soon, guys. We've been out loud and proud for 2 years, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon, especially if you do decide to join up and become a member or make a donation, because, of course, we're coming up to Radiothon soon. All right, we are heading to the end of this program, which is good because I'm starting to get quite emotional and have lots of feelings, which, as you might know, dear listener, that's not that uncommon. Anyway, we'll be back next week for your regular broadcast. Jen, who usually is hitting the representation hour, is recovering very well from taking the break a leg, you brilliant actress, a little too literally. So she should be back soon with another representation hour to talk about bi and pan characters in pop culture. Thanks so much for joining us, Ro.
My absolute pleasure.
Please stay tuned for Jason with Local Roots, bringing you some brilliant classic and new Aussie queer music. This is Triple Bypass. Stay tuned. You're on Joy.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple Bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality. The best of both worlds.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass.
Triple Bypass. On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.